This afternoon, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, actually, we'll be looking at part of the verses from chapter 1 first, I believe, and we'll be starting at, we looked at just briefly the introduction of chapter 1, verse 26, and I guess we'll be just in chapter 1 today. Be chapter 1, 26, and then we'll be looking through verse 56 this afternoon. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And just a pause here. Joseph and Mary grew up in, had settled in the area of Nazareth. That's where they were from, even though they were both descendants of David, which we'll be looking at next Sunday. And they both consequently, when they had to register, in Bethlehem, because that was the city of David. But they had gone up and they were living and had lived in northern Israel, north of the northwest of the Sea of Galilee in the city of Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I just want to share with you what espoused means, because in our culture we don't have this concept. We have the concept of engaged, but it's not the same as espoused. To be engaged, when Roberta and I got engaged, we didn't have any formal written agreement. We didn't have anything other than I gave her a ring. I asked her if she'd marry me, and she said yes. And then we made plans for the marriage, but there was no other legal ramifications further than that. If she had decided, you know, this isn't such a great idea, I'm going to give him his ring back and call it off, I would have no legal ramifications against her, and she would have no legal ramifications against me if I did the same to her. That's engagement in our culture. Espousal in the Jewish culture, it's being absolutely, totally committed to one another, but you haven't consummated the marriage act and gone through the ceremony. But it's the commitment as if you're already married. There is no opportunity to get out of an espousal except you decree a divorcement. And so it's just to get out of being espoused, you would have to be divorced just as if you were married. So espousal is your one step before you consummate the marriage physically and before you go through the marital ceremony, but you are absolutely, totally committed to that person, and you are to have no other, and there is to be no other person in your life at all, because it's just as if you are going to be married very shortly. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, if you look at this, what the angel is telling Mary, I once heard a pastor preach on this, and he was saying that if you go back to Isaiah, you will see that the Messiah was going to come through a virgin, through a young virgin. That's recorded in the book of Isaiah. Every young woman that was a believer at all in Israel always said, could it be me? Could it be me? Could I be the one? And if you can imagine, all of a sudden, Mary is the one. And the angel Gabriel appears to her and tells her this. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of situation this should be. And even though every young girl in Israel was probably wondering, am I going to be the mother of the Messiah? When Mary was confronted with it, she was troubled. She didn't understand, because I believe that Mary, from later on you're going to see, contrary to what Roman Catholicism would teach, that she was without sin. She was a sinner because she calls out my Lord and my Savior and acknowledges that she needs a Savior too. I think this verse as well indicates she's troubled. She knows that she is a sinner. She knows the things that she has done in her life, and she's wondering, how could God have picked me to be Jesus's mother, the mother of the Messiah? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And so the Lord reassures her through Gabriel, no, I have placed my favor upon you, and it's not because of you being so wonderful, but my favor, it's the same concept as grace. God is extending to her something that she doesn't deserve, but his favor is on her, in spite of who she is. And he has called her, and she says, do not be afraid, for God's favor rests with you. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, in the Hebrew, Yeshua. The name means salvation, the salvation of the Lord. And there's a special name. And you see here that just as Zacharias was told, your son's name will be John, Mary is told, your son's name will be Jesus. And there's meaning to names in the scripture. And it's important that we understand that, and looking at why she was to name him this, it's because he was to be the salvation of his people. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of God, of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Now, if you look at this as well, this is interesting, because if you look at where Mary and Joseph are economically and socially in Israel, they are in a totally different part of the country from where their families had come from. Joseph, it says in scripture, in the English, it says carpenter. His real trade would have been more like a mason or bricklayer, would have been what the word means in Hebrew. And it's a physical job. It's a job that would not necessarily be of someone who had a high position and stature in the culture. So they were common people. They were ordinary people. They were lower. If they lived in America, we call them a lower middle class or lower economic people that just worked for a living and didn't have a lot of things. That's who they were. Yet God had called them. Now, how would Jesus inherit the throne of David unless it was by the power of God and unless God ordained it? Now, we're going to look on Sunday at the lineages, but they were both descendants of David. And being descendants of David, they had a right to the throne of David, and we'll look at that on Sunday as well. But we see here that God called them in spite of their position in Israel and not what the world would have done. The world would have picked somebody that would have been way up higher on the chain, closer economically and everything else to the king of Israel. But we also know at this time there wasn't a Jewish king. There was an Edomite king, Herod. But we know that the Lord says, the throne will be your son's, the throne of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now this is another amazing statement. This, in fact, aligns itself with what we read out of Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, where it talked about the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And it said there that his kingdom, that he would rule and his kingdom would be no end. He is giving the same, he's telling her, the prophecy given to Isaiah is going to be filled fulfilled in the child that you are going to bear. He's going to rule over all of Jacob. Now, this is significant because what had happened, there had been a split kingdom. And Israel really hadn't come, even though they were under an Edomite king, even Israel now was divided in that Herod ruled the southern portion and his brother ruled the northern portion of Israel. And we see that under the various kings, there was always a split kingdom after the time of really Solomon. At the time of Solomon, it split into the southern and the northern kingdoms. And the Lord said, no, Jesus is going to rule over all of Israel. He's going to rule over all of Jacob. Over all the tribes of Jacob will be under him. It will be united Israel again. And that's amazing to see, too, that as you look at what's happened in our in light of the scriptures, where the Lord said he's going to call the people back in the last days, and they'd come out from all over the four corners of the earth. They're going to come back, and they're going to be united, not as two Israels like they were when they went into captivity, but they're going to be united as one. It's going to be one Israel. Two sticks shall become one, it says in the scripture. And the Lord is going to rule over them. We also know from the book of Revelation that that is going to happen. That Jesus is going to come, and in the last days, the remnant of the Jewish people that are unbelieving at the time will look upon him whom they pierced and will accept him as their Messiah. And he shall rule and reign from Jerusalem over all of Israel. And so it says here, this has been promised and revealed to Mary. And there shall be no end to this kingdom. And we know that the kingdom is in pause right now, but there will be no end to his kingdom. It shall be an eternal kingdom culminating in the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and the Lord shall rule and reign forever. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? Now, this further enhances the term that they were espoused to one another up there. Mary confirms that, because had they been formally married and consummated the marriage, then she would have known Joseph. They would have had sexual relations. And then people could have said, well, that is really Joseph's son. It's not the son of God. It's Joseph's son. She is saying, I have known no man. I am a spouse to Joseph, but we haven't consummated the marriage, and I have known no other. And this is important, too, because later on you see the response of Joseph when he finds out what's happened to Mary, that she's pregnant. His immediate response is he's upset. Why? Because he knows he hasn't had any relationships with her, and yet she's pregnant. So how is she going to explain this? And because they've been espoused to one another, there's no to be no other man. The Lord and the angel has to appear unto him and reassure him that this child is God's supernatural working in Mary's physical body to create in her womb the Son of God, Jesus, who is the promised Messiah. And then you also notice what Joseph's response is when the Lord says that. Initially, Joseph is a very honorable man. Because before the angel appeared to him and before he knows that, it says that he was going to put her away privily. Now, what it means privily is he wasn't going to make a big deal about it. What is the law in Israel? The Pharisees brought the woman before Jesus and said, we caught her in the act of adultery. She needs to be stoned. If you were impregnated while you were espoused to another man and you were impregnated by a different man, you had committed adultery and you deserved to be stoned. Joseph did not want that for her. Instead, it said he was going to put her away privily. He was going to set her aside without trying to make people aware of the situation, but he was going to break the espousalment and break this relationship. Because she had been unfaithful to him in his mind until the Lord revealed to him that wasn't the case. So we know that Joseph was a very honorable man. and that the Lord had chosen him just as he had chosen Mary. And it says here, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now people say, well, I thought it takes chromosomes from a man and chromosomes from a woman to create a person, because you have to have so many chromosomes and you get half of them from one and half of them from the other. And so you don't have a full DNA chain if you don't have both. Well, guess what? God can create. And God did create. Remember we said with what's the verse later on here, with God, nothing's impossible. Why? Because God spoke and things came into being. If God wanted to create a body for himself in which he would inhabit, he could do it. And this had to be a special body. How was man's sin passed from person to person? Why are you and I born and conceived in sin? Why do we have sin as our nature? Because it was passed to us through Adam. Now, the Messiah could not be the son of Adam in the sense of being the physical descendant of Adam. And so he had, remember the promise given to Adam is it would be the seed of the woman. And we know that when a man and a woman come together, it's the man's seed that impregnates the woman. And here we're saying it's the seed of a woman. Well, God supernaturally created this body, created this baby in her womb that did not have to have a physical human man to be the father. Because God is the father, God supernaturally created this body, and he tells that to Mary. And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Because he truly is God's Son in the flesh.